Okay, so we are on pay on the base, 8 lines from the bottom.
Pay?
Pay on the base.
Wow, we're on pay base.
Yeah, all right. Tomorrow night is locked up, officially. As we said. Okay. So we learned in the Mishnah that we learned
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, Beth Hashem is locked up.
Yeah.
Pay on the base, 8 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah about Yichud, that a man is not allowed to be alone with two women. One woman is allowed to be alone with two men. And we discussed the pros and cons of that. And So we said Abul Isha, that one woman is allowed to be alone with two men. This is only true if those two men are ksherim, meaning people who are careful with the dinim of tznius. But if they're pritzistic, for example, we see that they're one example that's given in the poskim is if we see that they're not careful with the dinim of shomer negia, then that would make them pritzim. Then even if she's with 10 men, then no good. Because if the whole point is
that's more dangerous.
Come on, we're not talking about that they're all going to grab a hold of her. We're talking about
the risk is less with 10.
In a way, the risk, you would think the risk is less with 10. So Rashi said the vote is that normally echad boish mechaver. One man, normally with two men, it's good enough because and we're saying that they're traded because one would be embarrassed
so why,
in the presence
why
of the
one
other.
One man is kosher. It's a kosher.
So one man, a kosher, no, because poetry has a yetzahara. We're going to learn later on. You know, even the great tzaddikim, you had a yetzahara. You know, it's a powerful yetzahara. Two is good, but we're saying only if they're kshedim. But prutim even 10 now. And indeed, the Gemara says, have a mice of hoitzira, sar of a mitzah. Attacker once happened, for example, that there was a woman who pretended to be dead, and 10 men went to carry her out in an oren to take her to her levaya. She was an Ashesi, as Rashi says, and they used that as an opportunity to be Mizana. So you see that when it's true, then
she
pretended to be dead so that they'd take her out of the city. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Rabbi Yosef, Teda, and Rabbi Yosef says, I can prove to you that just because you have a lot of people is not in and out.
All these 10 men did
it? I guess. I don't know. Maybe one of them did and the other. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Teja, I can prove it to you that having more people there is not necessarily proof against Avera. D'michabri be'asara, because after all, you can have a case where 10 people join together, the Gandhi Kshura, and they go to steal a beam, something heavy like that, but you can't just have one person lift. The Lemyasifi Mahabadi, and they're not embarrassed with each other. So you see that sometimes Abu Dhabi have a whole gang together when it's Prutim, or in the case of Ganovim, whatever, where they're cultured on this Indian, then yeah, they don't care. Okay, Gemara says, name a Messiah. In that case, should we say that we have a proof to what Rav is saying from the following Mishnah? We learned in Sota that when the Sota and her husband are on the way to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Din HaGadol, to get a Sota procedure done, the Mishnah says, they motzu in Lashnetim and Chachamim, the local Beis Din supplies them with two Tamar Chachamim who travel along with them, Shema Yovei Alei Al-Baderech, in case the husband may have relations with her on the way, which, as we learned there, once she becomes a soita, she's also to him. And in fact, if he has relations with her, then the water won't work. Ain't a mind broken as ishto. Implying, Tamar Chachamim ain't in Shida Al-Maloi. L'chura, that implies, why is it allowed when you have two people? Only because they're Tamar Chachamim. Otherwise, not. Well, that would prove what Rav is saying. Other regular people you might have to be concerned about prutzim. Tamar Chachamim, generally speaking, you can assume or not. So that would prove what Rav is saying.
Just that they have any
by one person, what we're talking about over here, you have the husband. Now, granted, the husband himself can't be a shomer over here because he himself is also to her. But you have two other Tamar Chachamim, and that's good enough. We don't say, the point is that they have to be Tamar Chachamim.
And he knows that if he fails, then the water won't do anything. What's the whole point of going through the July?
That's the point that Gemara is going to say. He may not know. The reason we need Tamar Chachamim, wait, listen, one more line. The answer is low, not necessarily. Shaina Tamar Chachamim, the Yadi Lasserig. They know. You could argue the reason why you need Tamar Chachamim in that case is not a matter of Prutim versus Kshirim. It's rather a matter. You need Tamar Chachamim because they're going to know to warn him of this fact. He may not know that if he's Baaleha, then the water is not going to work. They need to inform him of that fact. And therefore, you need Tamar Chachamim. Doesn't necessarily prove that you couldn't also have prutzim as well, were it not for that consideration. There's also another explanation of a lasturiya babe, which, by the way, which is they warn him, Parshat, that if he has relations with her, actually he'll actually be chayav malchus. We learned there that it's a lav achrei asher tamah for him to have relations with her at that point till the soja water, till she drinks the soja water. So yeah. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, loy shanu ela ba'ir. Now, all this that we're talking about, that it's good enough to have that one woman can be alone with two men, is only if it's in the city. But if it's on the road or some other isolated area, then it's not good enough to have two, you need three. Because what happens if one of them has to go to urinate, or Rashi has a different gifsel than a kavav, which before we talk about the idea that Rashi may mean that it's not just if he has to urinate, big deal, just go behind a wall and do it and hopefully back in 2 seconds, that won't be enough time. What we're talking about is Rashi, it seems from Rashi than a kavav, that he may have to go do number two, and that may take a while. So therefore, then there might be a concern. The Gemara says lahashtin, but in Sota it said over there. In Sota, I think it's actually said lemekavav. Yeah, I think so. Actually, it says it here on the side, and I go to Yunim. Then yeah, that's how it is in Sota. And then you're going to have one man along with an erva, which is no good. So therefore, you got to have three men. Okay. Again, the Gemara says, name a Messiah. In that case, can we say that we can prove this din of Rav from that case of the Sota, that we said, where Treve Iyu HaFlosa, where Lechorah, then that's why you have to have that for two Tamar HaChamim, not just one, in order that you should have three men. That way, even if one of them has to go to the bathroom, the other two are available. And again, the answer is no. Hasam Kech the Nevo Alei Sadi. No, you could argue that the reason you need two Tamar HaChamim is in case. First of all, in case the husband ends up having relations with her, they can be Adris on it. But besides that, this way they'll be able to get Adris and based in, and then they won't go through with the Sota procedure. Besides that also, therefore in that case, you need two Tamar HaChamim. You can't necessarily prove in an average case that you must have three people. Maybe taka two people is enough.
What makes the city easier? In the city,
you have more people around.
To be excused also.
Fine, but in the city you have more. First of all, so the vote is in the city. You don't have to go.
If they're in the public.
Hold on, in the city, because in the city you don't have to go as far. All you have to do again is you go around the corner and find a semi-private area or whatever and go to the bathroom. You don't have to. Whereas Basada, with 1 second, listen.
You go around a bush.
No, let me explain. Basada, but Baderach or whatever, there may not be bushes. And the din is, the Gemara tells us in Brachas, that if you're going to the bathroom, and we're not talking about, again, nowadays we have enclosed bathrooms, we're talking the old days when people would do it out in the open, then you have to be far away enough that the other guy can't see your exposed skin, which that has to be some distance away. So, but there's less of an issue with that, because you can just turn a corner. Basada, badera, or whatever, basada, you may have more of an issue.
But didn't you say
that okay, we could, but we have now we have a different reason. Now we're saying that you don't even need, even if it's not a matter of lasturia, because here we're not worried. It could taka be the same answer lasturia, but now the Gemara is giving. Besides that, there's also the matter. Even if you're not worried about lasturia, you would argue you need two of them for a different reason anyhow. In order to be ageless in case he does. So in the original case, we said, when we tried to bring this mission as a proof to Rav, we said maybe you need two Tamar HaChamim because they need to be mastered. Now we're saying it's true, maybe never mind Tamar HaChamim, maybe even regular people would be enough, but why do you need two of them and then together with the husband you have three? Because you need them to be able to be able. So again, you can't necessarily prove, again, okay, we don't have a proof against what Rav is saying, the halacha is like what he says, but we can't prove it from that mission. The Gemara tells, Rav Rav Yehuda have a ka'azibor. So one time Rav and Rav Yehuda were walking on the road, have a ka'azai he eats a kamayu, and a certain woman was walking ahead of them. Omale Rav the Rav Yehuda, so Rav says to Rav Yehuda, Dal karech mikame Gehenna, pick up your feet in the presence of Gehenna. Meaning, walking behind a woman where you watch her walking is not a good thing. It leads to hero. The Gemara tells us. The Gemara has. Rav is saying to Rabbi Huda, "Dal karach, pick up your feet." In other words, let's hurry up and get ahead of her. Mikame Gehenna, because of the presence of Gehenna. Meaning, if we continue walking behind her, we're going to be subject to hero avera, which the Gemara has in Brachas some very serious things to say about a person who walks behind a woman and has eyes on her. Okay, and Shulchan Aruch talks about how far behind you have to be. Right, and it talks about, the post can talk about that maybe it's good enough. Maybe it's good enough if you're out of four amas, because after all, four amas is a different for sure. There are other poskim that argue that no, I mean zilbos or timer. The reason is not to observe. Then, well, then maybe that's the thing. If you're within four amas, you really have no choice. Necessarily, you're going to be looking. If you're outside of four amas, you're able.
Less than four amas, you're pretty close to it.
This is also true. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so Amalei Rav, so okay, Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, why, what's the problem? You yourself, you Rebbe, just said before that if it's two Ksherim, it's good enough. Luchura, when you have, if you're talking about the two Ksherim with one woman, it doesn't matter whether they're walking behind her or in front of her or next to her or whatever, there's no issue.
We're talking about the
But the point is, Rav said that Aloshanu Elav Ksherim, that the Mishnah is only talking about Ksherim, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Rav, you didn't just say that it's Mutter, maybe the Yevet or something. You seem to imply that it's totally permitted. Even. So what's the problem over here? Amalei, so Rav answers him, who says we're talking about Ksherim like me and you? Okay, we're not person, granted, but who says we're the caliber of Ksherim that the Din is talking about? Okay, so then the question is, Elik Yigun Mai, well, and what caliber are we talking about? The answer is, Yigun Rav Chanina Bar Papi B'Chaveiro. Like Rav Chanina Bar Papi and the other Amiroyim, we had a discussion at the end of the first parak on Daf Lamed Tes Mem. We had a couple of stories about Rav Chanina Bar Papi, Rav Tzadik, etc., where they went on the Siris Nefesh, where a goyish woman propositioned them to be mezana with them, and they jumped off the roof, or they were moist in Nefesh so Rav is saying that we are not on that level. Now, what is the actual din? So I'll tell you, the Rambam actually. So 1 second. Okay, so actually, here you have a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which in turn goes back to a machlokas HaRishonim. The Rambam, because the Rambam understands our Gemara to be saying that in that case, if even Rav is saying that he and Rabbi Yehuda cannot be considered Ksherim, because Ksherim is only like Chachamim and Papi and company, then you have very few Ksherim in the world. Practically speaking, then, that means that you have to have three men always. And therefore, the Rambam says as a blanket statement, you always have to have three men. And the Mechaber passes accordingly.
Really?
Yeah. On the other hand, the Rambam says that maybe Rav was only saying to be machmir on himself. Maybe he's only saying, like you said, lefnim meshurat hadin. Maybe in reality, all you need is the average kind of kosher. You don't need somebody like a Chanina Bar Papi who's ready to go on Mesiras Nefesh for it. You just need the average person who's shomer negiyah and who's careful in general with the din and pnias. And therefore, two are enough. And he says, indeed, and the Rambam indeed passed it so. So you come out with them. The Rambam says two, and therefore that's Sfaradim have to hold like the Beis Yosef. Therefore, they have to have three. Ashkenazim can hold like the Rambam, and therefore two is enough. However, with that said, again, first of all, if the Prutim then no good. Besides that, also we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk. Hold on, one more thing before. Let me just finish what I'm saying. One more consideration is there is something that we're going to talk about tomorrow. The Mishnah and the Gemara are going to talk about tomorrow, called Istoy Im Hanoshim, somebody who habitually works together with women. It can be, for example, somebody who owns a women's clothing store. It can be a woman who works in an office. It can be a man who works in an office with women or whatever. There's a different thing. There Istoy Im Hanoshim. It may not be enough, the heter of one woman and two men. Not because it's a person as a part of, but because he's more familiar with them and therefore more susceptible to.
It's a wonder we don't make a difference between who's married and who's not married.
No, because even if a man is married, it doesn't take away his taiva, you know. We're going to have soon, Ishtei Meshamarta, we're going to have the case if his wife is nearby, then she'll guard him. We haven't gotten to that yet. Wait. Okay, you were going to say something?
Yeah, it's not how the Rambam can argue on the Mishos.
No, well, the Rambam argues on the Mishos all the time.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But because the Mishos is driven in the Kivan Amal.
So, first of all, Turtle Leber Shammai. Second of all, the Mishos.
But that was the Rebbe.
Doesn't matter. First of all, Turtle Leber Shammai. Second of all, the Yosef learned from this Malach, and he wrote the whole state of Magid Mesharim. He didn't learn halachas from him, because Torah Lev Shemayim. The Beis Yosef writes his halachas based on the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, the other Gdolei HaPoskim. He doesn't write halachas based on what he learned from his Malach, from his Magid.
So what did he learn? No.
What did he learn from his Magid? He learned Pnimiyas HaTorah. He learned deeper ideas in Torah. Halacha is halacha, though. Anyway, yeah. Omer Rav continues the Gemara. Rav says, Malkin al Yichud, we give people Malkus if Mimi Makas Marus, if they have Yichud. The Ein Oistrin al Yichud, however, we do not ask her, if it's an Eishes Ish that was in Yichud, we don't ask her to her husband because of the Yichud. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says the problem with that is that then you say in the first part of it, Malkin ala Yichud implies that you're talking about a Pnuya, because in Eishes Ish you would have the problem if you give Malkus, as the Gemara is going to say, in a couple of lines, people are going to think there really was Znus over there, and they're going to make you lies on her children. So it comes out, Malkin ala Yichud is talking about a Pnuya, Ein Oistrin ala Yichud is talking about an Eishes Ish. How do you have one statement like that that has two different meanings? So therefore, Tosfos discusses some other possibilities. Maybe Ein Oistrin ala Yichud means that if it's a Pnuya, we don't ask her to a Koyin. Maybe it means that even granted we say Milo also be Yuchsin, but nevertheless we're not going to say. Tosfos also draws another distinction that, for example, there's a difference. We had a case in Ksubas where Reua Medaberes employee, we saw her being alone with somebody, and then we asked her Mativishal Ichzeh, she said Mishpointy Makoyan, etc. And we discussed over there the famous Machlokas of Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua versus Rav Eliezer, whether we believe her or not, that he's a kosher or that he's a apostle. Tosfos says one distinction may be there she's admitting that there was Ve'ila, here she's not. Therefore, we could. Well, here we're talking about, if we ask her, you know, Yisrael and Yichud, in other words, what do you mean? If we ask her, you were in Yichud, this guy, did anything happen? And she says no, then we wouldn't ask her to Bechlal, to Rekoyen, according to anybody. Whereas if she's Moida, if there was Be'ila, then we'd have to start figuring out whether the guy was Tasha or not. That's what I was saying. Okay.
Rashi
says that Malkin al Yichud means that if you're in Yichud with a Pnuya, then Malkus is given, Malkus Maudus. However, not with an Eishes Ish, though, because with an Eishes Ish, again, you're going to have a problem of Moitzi Lav. And for the same reason, you don't ask this woman to her husband, because then for sure there's no actual evidence of Nun.
So with
an Eishes
Ish, what happened?
So with an Eishes Ish, nothing. Wait. We'll talk. Amar Rav Ashi, Loi Amaron Ela B'Yichud Pnuya. This is only talking about Yichud with a Pnuya. Av B'Yichud De Eishes Ish Loi. But when it comes to Yichud of an Eishes Ish, we don't even give Malkus, let alone after her to her husband, Shalotei Moitzi Laz Alpaneh, because you don't want people to talk about her children. People are going to think if she or the guy she was alone with or whatever are going to get Malkus, Makas Maudus, people are going to think, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. There really was something over here. She must have been Mizana, and therefore her children are Mamzerim. We don't want to do that without any evidence of that, and therefore we're not going to administer Malkus. However, the Gemara says, Marzutra Malki Umachri. However, Marzutra would give Malkus, but he would also make an announcement. Meaning, he would give Malkus for the Yichud, but he would make an announcement that this isn't because she was Mizaneh, it's just because it was Yichud. Rashi learns that we're talking about an Eishes Ish, in which case Marzutra is disagreeing with what Rav Ashi is saying. Rav Ashi is saying that you don't give Malkus for Eishes Ish, for Yichud with an Eishes Ish. Marzutra is saying you do so long as you give an announcement. Hagoyt HaGrob brings over here differently. He says the Rambam learns differently, which is that Marzutra is not disagreeing. He's agreeing with Rav Ashi that with an Eishes Ish, you don't do Malkus. With a Pnuya, you do give Malkus, but also you don't want people to think that she was actually Mizana necessarily. Then that's where you announce that there was just Yichud. In order not to make people think that she's a Zoyna and offer to a Koyin or whatever. Rav Nachman from Pahatia, the name of the city, says to Rav Ashi, Mar Nami Loki Vilachris. So why don't you do the same thing like Mazutra did? Why don't you give Malkus and make announcements? Again, according to Rav Ashi, if it's an Eishes Ish, according to the Rambam of the Pnuya. Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him the problem is, Ika the Shama Baha, Vilay Shama Baha, because you might have, some people might hear of the Malkus, not hear the announcement afterwards. And therefore, again, if it's an Eishes Ish, they're wrongly going to think there was Nus over here. Because after all, there was Malkus. It must mean that there was something serious going on over here. And they're going to end up thinking her children are Mamzerim. Or according to the Rambam of Pnuya, same idea, whatever. The point, they're not the children. Because there aren't any, but the people are going to think that she herself is also to recite.
It was Nus to Skira.
Okay, so Rashi points out like this. Nowadays, we have no Mrs. Basic, so there's no skill of possible anyhow. Therefore, we have to be talking about Malkus.
Today, we don't have Malkus.
Malkus Maudus. In principle, Basic, even nowadays, could give Malkus Maudus. Practically speaking, you don't hear if it doesn't, but in principle, they could. If they could get away with it without the Goyish government coming down. They would take the guy and give him pesh.
If you have to.
I mean, if she was involved in it.
Who gets Malkus to a woman? Another woman?
No, a man. Okay, so when it comes to real Malkus, and I would assume it's the same with Malkus. So what you do, the Mishnah tells us in Makkah, if it's a man, they take off his shirt and then give him malchus on his bare back. If it's a woman, they have her wear, they keep her shirt on. We had a similar thing as far as Skila. We had a similar thing as far as Skila. We're talking about malchus, but yeah. So the problem is, Rav Ashi is saying, yes, very nice, you can make an announcement, but what if somebody doesn't hear the announcement, and then therefore they think there was actual news of him? Amar Rav, another din, Malkin aloy tova hashmua. We also give malchus for bad rumors. Meaning, if there's a curl, and the Rambam points out it has to be a persistent curl, we're not just talking about something that comes and goes, a persistent curl, that somebody is over aberet, so specifically, we're talking in our Gemara here that he's Mizana. So there's no solid evidence of it, but there's enough rumors going about. Then, Malkin, you can give malchus for that.
Even if there's no evidence?
That's the point. In other words, Marcus Martyrs, yeah. Just based on the fact that there was this very strong curl.
People speak lots of curl.
Okay, so we learned, I think it was in Yuvamos, we talked about the rules of a curl. The Pashtus, I would assume the same rules apply over here, that it has to be that it lasts for a certain amount of time. It has to be the guy has no known enemy. It's not his known enemies who are spreading the curl. So then already we can say, given those circumstances, yes, where there's smoke, there's likely to be fire.
It doesn't have to be 18.
It doesn't have to be
18,
right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Still not.
Okay. What? That's Moses Malavona, yeah, okay. Yeah. The Mishnah tells us in Sota that when it comes to a Sota, if it gets to the point, if it gets to the point that the women who sit by moonlight spinning and or the town yentas, if they're talking about her, then already you know something is very likely to be going on over here.
Who cares? They're busy yenting.
No, but if they're yenting, there must be some basis for it. In other words, when it gets to that point, that already these Moses fall upon, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. They're here to game telephone.
I understand, but again, once you have a curl, again, if it's an unfounded curl, it will die out. How do we see that a loy tova hashmur is a serious matter? Shenema, as we find in the pasuk, that Eli tells his sons, Chofni of Eli Akoyin, tells his sons, Chofni and Pinchas, Albanai, know my sons, don't do what you're doing, ki loy tova hashmur, because what I'm hearing, where there's rumors that I'm hearing about you is no good. So we see the fact that he tells them al implies that it's kind of lav, because al is one of the forms of a lav, and therefore we see that they...
Very strange, according to the Tanakh, it looks like they're not so hot. The Rashbam considers them tzaddikim.
So the Gemara in Shabbos has a long discussion about it. Kol ha'omer b'nei Eli chota in El Toya, and actually then the Gemara discusses it, but there are pros and cons. Maybe Chofni was chota and Pinchas was not. Yeah, it's a whole Gemara in Shabbos.
According to Rashbam, they both had to be tzaddikim.
Okay, well.
Because it brings down, because it was a punishment that seven tzaddikim had to die from the police.
Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's the Gemara mentions, but there are different opinions on the subject. Yeah. Another din on this, Mazutra Moisiv La'afsira Al-Kasfei. Mazutra would put a harness on literally La means on her shoulders, Umitri Le'i Al-Banai, and he would read out this pasuk Al-Banai. Meaning, Rashi learns, in other words, that what Mazutra would do, when he was giving Malkus for this kind of situation where there's been Lo'i Tova Hashmura, what he would do is, beside the Malkus, he'd put a harness on the person's shoulders, be it him or her, as the case may be, and read off this pasuk Al-Banai, to make it clear, why am I giving you Malkus? Because Lo Tov Hashmur, because there's one needs for a harness. So the Radal says an idea that a harness is used to control an animal, and therefore it was meant as a simen, like you need to control yourself a little better. Even animals are able to control. You need to control your Yetzer Hara.
Yeah.
Actually, the Radal has a whole different explanation, which is, he says it means that Mazutra would not necessarily give them Malkus.
What?
Just when there's actual Yichud, we said before, he would give Malkus and make an announcement. When there was only Lo Tova Hashmur, he would only put the harness on them in order to humiliate them and tell them, why am I doing this? Because Lo Tova Hashmur.
You're not going to know what to do
without giving them Malkus. Yeah.
You'll have to wait till I can vote.
Omer Rava. Baila Ba'ir, if the woman's husband is in town, then there is no problem of yichud. Now, Rashi has an interesting statement on this. When he says, Rashi says that this is actually a continuation. The Rashi seems to be saying that this is a continuation of what we just said, meaning we don't give malchus for such a thing. However, it sounds like Rashi is implying it's still also, even if by lover is, you just don't give malchus for it. Most other Rishonim disagree with. Tosfos disagrees with that. Most other Rishonim also disagree with that. They say, no, Baila Be'ir means, Ein Choshesh, it means Lachatchila is Mutter. And that is how it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. That Lachatchila, if Baila Be'ir, then you're fine. Then you're fine. Then the woman can be a lot, yeah. Again, you know, what exactly the parameters of Baila Be'ir, you can look on all the guides to Yichud, you can see there's certain complications in it. What if we're talking about, you know, what if a woman is home in Brooklyn and her husband is out in the Bronx, you know, I mean, you know, he's an hour away. Does that help or not, you know? Maybe not. Is it a psychological thing that you know, because her husband is nearby, she's not gonna allow herself to be talked into the snus? Or is it just the practicality that he may walk in any moment? And in that case, if you know he's an hour away, then it's no good. There's a lot of pros and cons about that. I'm gonna be it. Another din, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishos HaRabim. If you have a doorway open to L'Rishos HaRabim, Ein Choshen Mishum Yichud, then again, there's no problem of Yichud. Well, so what? However, there is one detail in that, which is the post can have a big argument. What does it mean, Pesach Pasuach? Does it mean the door has to literally be open, or does it just mean it doesn't have to be? It can't be locked. In other words, what if the door is closed? What if the door is closed but not locked? Is that good enough? There are some posts who say that yes, because anybody can walk in at any time. Other posts, but that's the question. What does Pasuach mean? Pasuach has always been null. Okay, but you have. But you have poskim that argue both ways. You have poskim who argue that it's fine if the door is closed, as long as anybody can walk in at any moment, meaning it's not locked. Or others say literally it has to be open.
If it was meant not closed, should it have been written not closed?
Okay, that's right. The Gemara tells a story.
I'm not sure.
What do you mean? I mean, if we're saying pasurach, then I mean, if it means actually open, then it means literally anybody can walk in at any moment. So then that's that.
Maybe it just means not locked.
That's what I'm saying. There are some parts in the world that way. That's what I just said. Okay. I mean, they talk about other possibilities also. Let's say, for example, a big window from which you can see everything in the room. Then also, it's equivalent.
They talk
about that in connection with women going in taxis or men that are driven by male taxi drivers or vice versa. You can't leave the door open, obviously. But if the taxi has clear windows and there's traffic on the road, then you're able maybe to be maleful. Although even that, the Rav Moshe Feinstein writes about it, but ever talked about it in later years. It's really better not to because of all the.
Now, the Achidus that ever used to open up the shade to the window, you can look inside.
There you go. Okay. I'm going to tell the case. Rabbi Ikla Labe Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi one time visited Rabbi Yosef's house, also the Kodach Richta, and after they had a meal, Amalahu,
Ikla
visited Rabbi Yosef's house, also the Kodach Richta, after they ate a meal, Amalahu, he says to them, Ashas meaning Rabbi Yosef says to his family, Shkuli darga mitutzi bibi, take out the ladder from under bibi. Meaning, Rabbi Bibi was going to be staying upstairs in the second floor. Rabbi Yosef and his family lived on the ground floor. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef is saying, take away the ladder in order that Rabbi Bibi cannot come downstairs, and that way there will not be a yisur issue.
What is situation.
The situation is that Rabbi Bibi visited the house and he's staying upstairs. He's staying upstairs, and Rabbi Yosef and his family are living downstairs. Rabbi Yosef and his wife are living downstairs. So he says, take away the ladder so that Rabbi Bibi cannot come. Rabbi David, come on.
I'm sorry.
Take the ladder away so Rabbi Bibi cannot come down and be in Yichud with my wife. The question is, didn't Rava say that if the husband is in town, then there's no problem with Yichud, so why does he have to take away the ladder? The answer is, Shiny Rabbi Bibi Dishrashvinte Havoi Vagai today. The difference is that Rabbi Bibi was her close friend. Shrashvinte, Rashi says, means Balach Brisla. They had, literally it means like they had a covenant. Like they were very close, they were close friends. They were close friends, maybe even they were relatives, who knows. And therefore, the guys of they, therefore there's a certain familiarity between them. So then, in that kind of case, even Baila Ba'ir, we're saying is no good. So that is an exception to the Baila Ba'ir rule. And this is a more general thing in the halachas of Yichud. Again, we said about the whole business of two men versus three. We said about Pesach Pasuach, all these things. If Gaitzi Bay, then you have more of an issue. Pesach Pesuach maybe will help with that. Fine, because at least fine. Pesach Pesuach, you know, they're not gonna do anything when people could walk in on them any second. But that can create problems, for example, even if there's two men, if they're both Gaitziba. So that's what we're saying. We have to know whether Gaitziba, we have to know how familiar they are.
Okay, just because we know it's Gaitziba, so we can
then you have more of an issue. So for example, this comes up, for example, with a secretary and her boss, where they've been working together for years and they're more familiar with each other, doctors and nurses, and all kinds of cases. What if you have, for example, you have two rooms, one room, an inner room and an outer room, where the only way to get in and out of the inner room is to go through the outer room. So if you have men in the outer room and women in the inner room, then there is no problem with Yichud, because the men are not going to go in, the men are not going to go inside. Now, you said that we can't, you said one man can't be alone with many women. So no, none of the men are going to be going inside, so what does he need to?
One man can't be alone with many women.
Because we said yesterday, Noshim died in Talis. He may be Mephasta one of them, and the rest of them will agree to keep it a secret. That's what the Gemara is saying. So if you have men in the outer room and women in the inner room, then there's no problem of Yichud, because then he's not going to be going into the inner room, and vice versa. No, but wait. As far as the women, if they want to exit their room and one of them, or more than one of them, goes out to the outer room, big deal. You have more than two men there. We said once you have three, unless they're prutim, then once you have more than two psherim, or prutim would be a problem. We're not talking about prutim then. We're talking about that average people. So then you don't have an issue. And noshim b'mifnim, noshim b'machutz. But if it's the other way around, the men in the inner room and the women in the outer room, choshen mishum yichud, then you have a problem with yichud, because when any of the men want to leave, he's going
to
be alone with the women. So therefore, you can't have to. Now that's how Rashi brings the case that we're actually talking about. We're not talking about that any of them are actually in the other room. We're talking about, can you set up such a thing in the first place that. Can you set up, according to Rashi, the question is, can you set such a thing up in the first place to have men in the outer room and women in the inner room or vice versa? The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns the issue is not can you set up such a thing to begin with, but if you have a man going into the women's room or women going into the men's room, do you have an issue of Yichud? So according to the Rambam, the idea would be, for example, that we're saying, that Rav Kahana is saying, if the men are in the outer room and the women are in the inner room, even if one man goes into the inner room, there won't be a problem of Yichud, because at any moment other men can come in, and therefore so sort of the equivalent of Pesach Pesuach. Whereas the other way around, you would have a problem.
Let me ask a question: what is Yichud? Yichud, by definition, means separation. So it has to be open. It has to be one.
Yichud means it doesn't necessarily. We just said in the Mishnah that you can't be alone with two women, and a woman can't be alone with two. That is also called Yichud. All of this is included in the rules of Yichud.
Okay, so then one man and two women,
or two women and one woman and two prutzim.
Here we're talking about many women and many.
But
men.
It may not mean necessarily many. Maybe we're talking about a small group. But whatever it is, the point still remains. It doesn't matter. The rules of Yichud are that one man cannot be alone with any number of women. You should know that Rambam actually is machmer, and the Rambam goes so far as to say that you may have a problem with many men and many women if the men are prutzim. In a braisa that we learn the other way around, that the problem would be if the women are in the inner room. So the braisa says the other way around there's a problem, because then one of the men may go into the inner room, nobody else will notice. And nobody else notices, and then all of a sudden you have a Yichud situation. That's the argument. So Rav Kahana is saying one way, Braita says the other way. Well, now that we have Rav Kahana saying one way, and we have a Braita that says the other way around, then we have no choice. Necessarily, we're going to have to be machmir. Now, why are we machmir if it's only a suffix that I'm bonon? The reason is, Mephoshim say, because if you're going to be makel, then you're not going to have the dinim of Yichud at all. So necessarily, therefore, in this kind of case, you have to be machmir. And the Gemara tells how a couple of Amoroyim worked to avoid these kinds of problems with the first. place. Abaya diagufi. Abaya set up a row of barrels. The barrel, if there was, for example, Rashi says, a place where a lot of men and women were gathering for a drosha or a chuppah, let's say, he would set up a machitza of barrels. Barrels are made out of earthenware. When you knock against
what?
Out of earthenware, out of clay. When you bang
wood.
In those days, they were made out of earthenware, generally. So if you... The standard barrels in the times of the Gemara were made out of earthenware. So therefore, barrels, drugs, whatever you want to call them, fine. Whatever, the point is, if anybody passes by and bumps into them, it makes a noise. So therefore, it would become very obvious if anybody is crossing the mechitza. Similarly, Rava Dayakone. Rava would set up a mechitza using reeds. Same idea. Reed, bamboo, whatever, same idea. If you go through, it'll make a noise. Yeah, they clack together, whatever, yeah. Omar Ovin, further on this topic of times when men and women are gathered together, drushas and things like that, and the problems of separating men and women, Omar Ovin, sakva deshata rigla. The weak part of the year is the Yom Tovim. Meaning, Rashi says, because you have people gather together to hear drushas, and therefore you have mingling of men and women. And Tosfos, by the way, brings an interesting thing on that. Because this is a reason we're all familiar with the concept of the Bahab fast. Nowadays, there's very few people who do them, but there is a concept of the Bahab fast that are after Pesach and after Sukkot.
Right.
Tosfos says that's the reason for this, because of that. Because during Pesach and during Sukkot, there tends to be more mingling between the genders.
Because of that?
Because of that.
Because of your indulgence.
So that's a different reason. There are a number of reasons brought in Shulchan Aruch, but this Tosfos is saying one of them. And then Rambam, based on this Gemara, says that therefore we see from that, and based on this whole Gemara, that Rambam says it's an obligation on the local Botidinim to set up guards, to set up people to keep an eye on things, and make sure that there's no mingling during all the Yom Tovim celebrations and Jerushas and whatnot. So this is where we get the whole concept of Mechitzes by Simchas and things of that nature. You always have people, whenever there's talk about sneers, you'll always have people, oh, what are you, the sneers police? Yeah, I'm supposed to be a sneers police. Yeah. Okay. Incidentally, by the way, I mean, we're coming up. Incidentally, yeah, David, come on. Okay. Incidentally, you know, I mean, you might ask in that case, so why is there no Bahab after Shavuot? Bechura, the same thing. The answer is because Shavuot is only 1 day, 2 days. There's less of a chance of those problems. Sukkot is 8 days. Sukkot is 9 days, but it was Shmini and Simchat Torah. Pesach is 8 days. So yeah, nice. Okay, so Gemara tells now a couple of stories about how even great tzaddikim were in situations where their Yetzer Hara was about to get the better of them. Hanach Shvuyasa Da'asoy LaNahavda. There were some Jewish women who had been taken prisoners by Goyim and were brought to Nahavda. And then the Jews there did Pidyon Shvuyim. Askinu Laber of Amram Chassidah. They brought them up to the house of Rav Amram Chassidah. Rashi says because he's the one who arranged the whole Pidyon Shvuyim. So they brought them to his house
in
Nahavda and put them up in his attic in a second floor of his house. And again, Ishkulu Dagami Kamayu, and they took away the ladder for the same reason as we had before about Abibi and Rabbi Yosef, to avoid any problems of Yehud. However, Bahadi de Kacholpa Chadiminayu, as one of these women was passing by the entrance, the opening in the ceiling, the opening between the two floors, no, not she fell. Not she fell, but a light fell, the ipuma in the opening. Meaning she was so beautiful. She was so beautiful that her face glowed. You could see, like, there was a shine. You could see a glow from the ground floor. Nothing for the ipuma in the opening in the ceiling over there between the first and the second floor. So Rav Amram all of a sudden had this tremendous yetzer hara for him. Shaklet of Amram Ladagra. So Rav Amram picked up this ladder, and it was a very heavy ladder. The Lord have a yachlan be'asara lamidliya. Normally 10 people couldn't lift up this ladder. Dalia L'chodan, he picked it up by himself because he was so overpowered. Ben Yehoyada adds, I mean, he was, the sultan was helping him out all over there, too. Yeah,
but if he's a tzaddik...
No. We're not talking about necessarily that he's a tzaddik on the level of Tanya. But wait, look. Solis for Ozil, and he started going up the ladder. As he got up halfway on top of the ladder, all of a sudden he strengthened himself. I'm not going to go through with this. Ipshach, he spread his legs apart like to brace himself, like I'm not going any further. Ramakola, and he yelled out, Nurabe Amram, there's a fire in Amram's house. also Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan came to put out the hurry to put out the fire, and they find there's no fire. He's standing over there on the ladder. Yeah, it's horror with the fire. Yeah. Amrulay, they said to him, Kasifinan, you've embarrassed us. You've embarrassed us. We came running here thinking there's a fire, and now you embarrassed us that there's no fire, and everybody. Yeah, well, you embarrassed us also that now people are going to think that the Chachamim are these kind of people.
No, what? Did he already say somebody?
No, that he tried to. He was about to go be Mizaner.
He all knows.
Yeah. Okay. He says, Mutzav tichsefu be'amram ba'al mahajein. Better you should be embarrassed in Amram's house in this world. Lo tichsefu minei la'amad osi, rather than you should be embarrassed of me in Olam Haba. Ashbe, at that point, Rav Amram made his Yetzirah swear to leave him. To Ashbe did yin fak minei. He made him swear, made the Yetzirah swear that it will leave him.
By definition, she was.
But no, because the Yetzirah is a mala. Or whatever.
It's
the Nefesh Bahamut. You were asking how is it a tzaddik as a tzaddik. Now he's able finally to expel it. Nafak minei ki amudad nura, and it came out from him like a pillar of fire. That was the fire that he had said. Amalei, and he turned to the Yetzirah and said, Chazi, look at this. The af nura, you are fire. Va'anabis, I'm only flesh. Va'anadif, and yet I'm more powerful than you that I was able to overcome you. It goes to show how a person can overcome it.
What is nefesh of kids?
Fine, okay. That's
not what.
Fine, okay, but yeah. Yeah, okay. So, Rav Meir have a mitzvotis for over avera. Rav Meir used to make fun of people who are over avera, of znus. He used to say, big deal, not big deal. He used to say, you couldn't control yourself. It's not that hard to control yourself.
For him, it's not
easy. Wait. Actually, Ben Yehoyada points out the problem with it, which the Gemara is going to say, that actually he was put to the test himself. Part of the problem is it amounts to saying, in that case, a tzaddik is not really overcoming such a tremendous nisayon to not do these things. So therefore, he was put to the test. One day the sultan appeared to him like a woman, on the other side of a river. Loi have a mabra. Now there was no ferry or normal bridge to cross the river. Knock at Mesra of a carver. So he grabbed a hold of a rope bridge to go across. Rashi describes over there they used to have on rivers. It was a common thing. I guess they had them for workers or whatever who had to get across in a hurry and couldn't wait for the ferry. They had there'd be a plank. There'd be like a footbridge, a narrow plank of wood going across the river with a handle next to it, with a rope stretched next to it as a handle, so like you'd get across that way. You hold onto the rope, and you get yourself across that way. Yeah. At the end of Sukkot, for example, the Gemara tells us that Reb Zera, when he was getting Teretz Yisrael, he had to cross the river. He had to cross the river. There was no ferry. He used one of these kinds of footbridges, and a local tzaddiki made fun of him. What are you in such a rush? And he tells him that to get there is the powerful thing. I have to get there as soon as possible. So here, it was the other way around. There's this footbridge. Rav Meir starts going across it. He must have pogged Metzra. When he got halfway across this footbridge, Shavke, then the Yetzirah left him alone. All of a sudden, he lost his type. And the Yetzirah, the sultan, turns to him and tells him, you should know, if not for the fact that they make an announcement in Shemayim, he's Zaru, Rav Meir, Vitterdose, be careful of Rav Meir and his Torah, meaning the Marsha says specifically, a Tamil Chacham may have a Yetzirah for Avera. But Torah, we learned in Sota, helps the Magno Masla, it has the quality of being able to protect a person from Avera. So if it weren't for that kind of announcement that your Torah is a very precious thing, Shavisi Ladomach Karti Moy, I would have made your blood worth like 2 mois. I would have killed you and you would have been I would have made you do the Aver or whatever, and you would have been worth nothing. Or next to nothing. Meaning be careful, meaning it's telling the Yetzirah that be careful, you should know that Meir's Torah is a very valuable thing and it protects him from an Avera. So the only reason I got you into the situation is you should realize that the Ovid Avera are not quite so weak willed as you think. The Yetzirah for Nus is a very powerful thing. Don't be misloyed about it anymore. Don't say lightly her, they would have been easy for them to
Don't make jokes.
Don't make jokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. History doesn't record, but I guess so. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Akiva have a mitzvah for over Avera. Similarly, Rabbi Akiva used to also make fun of these over Avera. Same idea. Look how easy it is. What are you falling in? Similar kind of thing. Yom Echad Idn LeSotan Ki'itza B'Reisha Dikla. One day the Sotan appeared to him like a woman at the top of a palm tree. Nakdav a Dikla of a Kasalik. And Rabbi Akiva started climbing the palm tree. to get to her. Va'azal, and he's going. Again, when Rabbi Akiva reached halfway up the tree, the Yetzirah left him alone, and he lost the taiva. And again, Omale, and similarly, the Yetzirah tells him, he loved the Sotan, tells him, he loved the Machri Zibrakia, he's Zorber, Akiva, but turn off, say, Shavitzu l'domach tarti moi, again, you would have been a goner. If I had persisted, accept that I'm mindful of the fact that they announced in Shemayim that your Torah is a very precious thing and that magno maplos it saved you from a veil. But if it weren't for that, yeah, you would have been worth nothing. Right, he had to control himself, I guess. So actually, one interesting thing, one of the Meforshim, maybe it's also Ben Yehoyada, I don't remember, says that Reb Meir and Reb Akiva, we know, were both descended from Geirim. Reb Akiva is famously descended from Sisera. Reb Meir is descended from Nira and Keser. They didn't have Chutz Avos to call on. Therefore, they had to fall back only on the Chutz of their Torah. Reb Amram, at least the Pashtas, had Chutz Avos.
The Chutz of his own might have happened with Yosef.
This is also true, yeah. The point still remains the point still remains. Realize how strong a taiva this is, and know to keep away from even a shemitz of it, from even anything that could. What about him? I mean, the Gemara quotes him in Sanhedrin as saying that the truth is, I could have passed the test if I had really wanted to, but since you, Abishta told me in the first place that I'm not going to, then what am I going to do, contradict you? Whatever, when we get to learning Perek Chelek in a year and a half, Beis Hashem, we'll talk about it at length.
It's
Sanhedrin, yeah, and Perek Chelek. We'll get there in due time.
First of all,
okay, next. In Sanhedrin, at the end of Sanhedrin. Come, new look. Come, let's continue. Yeah. Plimoy was the name of one of the later Tanoim, it was the Talmud of Rebbe. Have a rug lamema koyoma, he was in the habit of saying every day, Gira Ba'ena de Sotan, an arrow in Sotan's eye. He used to say that every day. Well, the Sutton, an arrow in Sutton's eye. It means like the Sutton ought to be completely destroyed. Well, the Sutton was offended by it. One day, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Idmele Ka'anya, the...
I don't know what he said.
He said, Gira Be'ena de Sutton, an arrow in Sutton's eye. An arrow should go into his eye.
In your face.
So Yom Echad Malo Yom de Kippur Ahava. One day it was Erev Yom Kippur. Idmele Ka'anya, the Satan pretended to be a poor person. Osa Korah Bava. He went and came, called out of the door. Apikule Ritzah. So they brought him out some bread, like he's supposed to. Amalei, but he says to him, whatever he says to them. Yom Kippur Idna, an important day like today. Erev Yom Kippur. Kula Alma Gavoy Vana. What is everybody else inside having their Suda? And I'm going to be out here. You're giving me bread. Very nice. What about inviting me in? So they brought him in, the Kurivalei Rifta, and they put food on the table in front of him. Amalei, still this Ani, really the Sutton in disguise, says to them, but they seated him alone, away from the rest of the family. So Amalei, Yoyma Ki Eidna Kulama Ataka Ba'anolachudai, so one, on a day like today, everybody else should be sitting around the main table, and I should be sitting off by myself. Askew, so they brought him, Oitzvu Ataka, fine, they sat him at the table together with everybody else. Well, he's trying to raise him up, whatever. Actually, Marshall says an interesting thing, speaking about the story of David HaMelech. The Gemara explains based on what afterwards the Nasan HaNavi goes and gives David the famous marshal about the rich man and the poor man and the lamb, whatever. He starts by mentioning that a passerby came. At first, the Pasuk calls him a halach, like a passerby. Then it calls him an oreach, meaning a guest, like a house guest. And afterwards, it calls him an ish, the man, like he becomes a balabas. Because that's how the Yetzirah works. He starts out as a passerby, and if you let him in, he'll become a... And eventually, he'll take over. So Marshall says, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The Sutton acted the same way. He started out as outside, then he got himself brought inside, and now he got himself seated at the table. It's the marshal, but nothing, I know if he tells David about it, but Shmuel Beis, yeah. So there's, he's sitting at the table. Have a Yosef. Now he was sitting. Mole nafshe shichna v'kibi. He, the Sutton, made himself full of boils and pimples and all kinds of disgusting sores, Alay on himself, and as he's sitting up there at the table, he's doing disgusting things. He's picking at them, squeezing them, whatever. Yeah. Omrulay, so they tell him, Tib Shapir, sit like a mensch. Don't disgust us. Omrulay, so he answers back to Oni, Hop Hovali Kosa, give me a cup to drink. Yavalay Kosa, they gave him a cup. Ichmar, he coughed, Shadabekicha, and spit phlegm into it. Nachrubay, so at that point they yelled at him. Shoko Mis, he pretended to faint away and die. Shamu Jehavakamri, all of a sudden they hear a voice from the outside. This is all part of what the Sultan is trying to do to get at Tlimoy. That all of a sudden they hear a voice from the Tlimoy, the Tana.
The Tana is
the Balabas over here, and this funny, yeah. The Sultan in disguise
is your face.
Tlimoy started by saying, yeah.
What made him say it the first time?
He felt the Sultan is like an unnecessary thing in the world. Why Tlimoy was saying that in the first place? Why should we have to have a Sultan?
Yeah.
Or I'm saying like I don't know, I'm immune to you, sort of. We had earlier in the Masechta, we had on the top of that Lama that the Chista had said that that I got married at a fairly young age, at 16. If I had gotten married even earlier, when my tithes first started at 14, then I would have been able to say to the Sultan, "Get up, ain't enough Sultan, an arrow in your eye." So maybe Plimer is saying in the same way, yeah, kind of like in your face, like I'm not worried about it. Anyway, so the Sultan, yeah. So Shamu Dahavakamri, all of a sudden they hear a voice coming from the outside saying, "Plimer Kotor Gabra, Plimer Kotor Gabra, Plimer has killed somebody." So, again, to all appearances, this is an Oni, who, from them yelling at him to sit like a mensch and not discuss this at the table, he was so offended that he dropped dead. Plimer, yeah. Orach v'tosha nafshu v'beisakise. So Plimer was very afraid. What if the government, what if the police hear about it? So he went and hid in an outhouse outside the city, Rashi says. Ozel Basre, the Sultan followed him out there. Nofokame, and he fell down in front of him. Fell down as in like he pretended to be dead again. Which Marshall says, that made Plimer even more nervous. First of all, he didn't know if it's the same guy. What if it's now there's another guy falling dead in front of me? What's going on over here? Or maybe it's the same guy. Maybe he didn't die before, but now he followed me here. And now he's back of dead. The Iyun Yaakov says another possibility also, like when a person is killed, like they always have a guilty conscience. They always see their victim in front of them. So Plimer felt like that. Like, I see this guy in front of me.
Plimer always goes back to the scene of the
crime. Yeah. Galilei Nafshe. So at that point, the Sultan revealed who he really is. Amalei, so he says to him, my time Amatafi, new, what are you saying to an expression, Gira Ve'enecha the Sultan, the Eivishter just created me, I have a purpose in the world. Okay, so he says, Ve'elahechi Eima, fine, Plimer says, what should I say? Amalei, so the Sultan tells him, Lema Ma'a Rachmona Niga Bebe Sultan. Instead, you should say, the Eivishter should yell at the Sultan to keep him away from you. Which, that's fine, there's a pasuk, there's actually a pasuk that says, Yigar Hashem B'cha Sultan.
So
fine, not to say an arrow in your eye, not to say in your face, but say, you know, also there's the idea, don't rely on your own koshus to keep away the Sultan. After all, if the Eivish doesn't help him, realize that no matter what, you may be a great tzaddik, but you always have to rely on the Eivish. Okay. Another story on this topic of a Yetzirah for Znus. Rav Chiya Ba'ashi used to, whenever he would do Nefilat Apayim, whenever he would say Tachmon, have a Omer. He used to say, Harachmon Yatzilenu Miyetzahara. So the Eivishter should save us from the Yetzahara. Yetzahara, unspecified in the Gemara, usually means the Yetzahara for Znus. And that's the whole context that we're talking about here. So that's what it is. Yom Echad Shamatinu Dveitu. One time his wife heard him saying this. Omer, she thinks to himself, Mechti Hokamashni departish Leminai. What is he worried about Yetzirah for? It's many years already that he's separated from me because he's old. In Bechura, he doesn't have the Koyach anymore. So what is he afraid of? My time of Koma. He said, why is he saying like that? Actually, one of the Mefarshim, Ani Yaakov, says that maybe what it is she suspected. Maybe he's seeing somebody on the side. Maybe he's been separated from me because I'm already old and he has no taiva for me anymore. But yeah. So,
no, he has time for
it, but not for her, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, my time will come up. So, Yom Echad, have a kagodas begin. So she decided to check it out. One day, she was sitting in his garden and learning Torah. Kishta Nafsha, she dressed herself up and made herself look.
He was sitting
in the garden. She dressed herself up in her nice jewelry and then perfume and whatnot. Chol Fovatanya, come in. She kept on walking back and forth in front of him. Amalaman asked, He didn't recognize her. She was dressed differently than usual, I guess. He said, who are you? Asked, who are you? Yeah, he recognizes the woman. He didn't recognize that as his wife. Amra, she says, Ano Charusa de Hadri Miyoma. I am Charusa, Rashi says, was the name of a famous Zoyna in that town. I just returned today to town. The Aruch actually has an interesting other gear said, not Charusa, but Chedvasa, Meloshin joy, like Dinitva Chedva. He says it means I'm a newlywed cow. A newlywed callous. She didn't look, but he was nearsighted, maybe. Who knows? Whatever. So he said, Tava. So he propositioned her. Amru. Yeah. That goes to show, in other words, that even Rav Chiya Ba'ashi has a Yetzahara. Yeah. Amru Lay. So she says to him, Wait. Remember, she's testing him out. But yeah. She's his wife, remember.
She's pretending. He doesn't know that.
Yeah, that's the point, yeah. She said to him, before you can do anything, first you have to bring me that fruit all the way at the top of that, all the way in that little branch at the top of that tree. To see, first of all, you know, what? No, not she wanted to kill him, but she wanted to see. Did Taka still have koyach? Did Taka still have the ability to get up there? Shove her, although he jumped up and then climbed up the tree. And he brought it to her. Yeah? He also obeyed it. Later on, when he came home, she realized her point. He still does have a type for it. And therefore, he has a good reason to be asking the Eivisha to save him from using it improperly.
Wait, what happened after he brought her the fruit?
History doesn't record that point. But wait.
That's been censored.
He also obeyed it. When he got back home, have a kashagri debate with Tanura. His wife was heating up the oven to cook. He jumped up and then went into the oven and sat in the oven. Amalei my high, like he was going to kill himself. Amalei my high, what's all that about? Amalei hochiv also have a mice. He tells her what happened. Why is he trying to kill himself?
He didn't recognize it.
So some of the Mepharshim have an interesting point. They say, look, if it was only a matter of znus, that's not something that's chayav misa. Why would he be trying to kill himself? Even if it's not his wife, but it's znus. It's an issur lav. It's not an issur. It's not an issur misa. He didn't know it was his wife. If it really was Chorusa, Zoyna, like he thought, then it wouldn't be an Issu Misa, it would only be an Issu Lav. However, so they point out, maybe the vote is he figured that she was Nida. And in that case, then it would be an Issu Kari. But whatever, this is, by the way, one of the Gemaras that's brought by various poskim to say that we see from this that if a person wants to, Rahman al-Aslan, commit suicide as a matter of tshuva because they did a serious aveira, then maybe there's justification for it. We see from this, there's a story in the Medrash about the nephew of Yosef ben Yehuda, there's a couple places. On the other hand, Ben Yehoyada learns differently. He says he didn't intend to kill himself. She didn't have the oven actually with a fire in it. It was just the floor, it was hot. He wanted to burn his feet as a tshuva samishko, like a tshuva, I use my feet to jump up and climb up that tree, therefore I'm going to burn my feet. There's such a thing, and it's brought in Sefer HaMutar, this idea. It's not something that's valid of Echzidus. It's a story that meant a story that the Shrita could ever tell about himself, that when he was a boy, he once had the idea to do such a thing to himself, and that Eber Shab was very angry at him for it. Echzidus is not right, but we're... Well, right, but again, when it's a matter of tshuva, but again, you know, Anyway, so what's going on? He says, "Hachi v'hachi adamai." So this is what happened. I did a serious avera. Amr le, I know havoi. She says it was me. He didn't pay attention to her. Yeah, you're saying it was you. You're just trying to make me feel better. Yeah. Adi yavale simoni. And Tosha gave him simoni. She told him the exact time, whatever it was. Yeah. Amaloi says, fine, but anomili suri kavni. However, I meant it for an iser. I still have to do tshuva. Yes, it turns out that it was a mutadika action, but I still had in mind that I was doing an iser. And the Gemara continues, kol yom of shalois et tzadik hoi mitzane. Throughout the rest of the life of that tzadik, he kept on fasting. Ad shemes ba'oi tzimisa, until eventually he died with his yisurim for doing tshuva for this. The Tanya is, in fact, that's how Rashi learns. The Ben Yoyada says that it means that afterwards, when he burnt his feet as part of his tshuva for the Zaveira, like eventually his feet never healed, but he died shortly afterwards with his feet still burnt. The Tanya, in fact, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says that a woman who her husband is made for her Nedarim, the Pasuk says, Isha Feiram Ba'ashem Yisakla, it says her husband was made for her Nedarim, But and Hashem will forgive her. But Malkas Medaber, what is the pasuk talking about? Why should the Eved need to forgive her? The Isha should not be a nazir. Imagine you have a woman who made a neder to be a nazir. The Shama Baila Behefala, her husband hears and he's made for the neder, which he's able to do. The Hila Yoda Shahefala Baila, however, she does not know that her husband was made for. Yeah, we learned it in a diary. Well, it's a shoysi yainim and tamal amesim, and yet, and then she goes and thinks she's violating her nazirut. She goes and drinks wine and becomes tamei. Really, she's not violating anything because her husband was made for it. She needs forgiveness from the Eibishter because she thought she's doing an avera, even though it turns out it wasn't. Same thing over here. Rabbi Akiva Ashim thought that he was doing an avera, even though it turns out that it was a heter. Rabbi Akiva ki have a moti lahay pesukah have a bafi. In fact, when Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would start crying. Omar, he used to say, somebody who intended to eat chazir flesh, but he ended up getting a piece of kosher meat, a piece of sheep meat. Omar Torah tzricha kapara, and yet the Torah says such a person needs kapara for the thought of avera that they had. Tzricha kapara was tzricha. So mishin eskaven lechob sar chazir, v'olob yadav sar chazir, somebody who intended to eat shreit, and taka ends up eating shreit, alach eskama v'kama, how much more so they need mechila and kapara from the Eved. A similar thing, you can say. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says about the case of somebody has to bring an Oshem Tolui, that he doesn't know, but he's guilty, and he bears his Avera. Again, again, when Rabbi Akiva reached this Pasuk, he would cry. He would cry, because look at what a serious thing, even an unwitting Avera is. Somebody who, this is the other way around, he intended to eat something kosher. He intended to eat shuman, which is kosher fat. And he ate chalev, which is osir. Omra Torah b'lo yodav ha'oshem and not tavon. And the Torah still says he's guilty and he has to bring an oshem tolui.
Even if he didn't know.
Mishn is kavan lechol chalev.
It's
a shogig. But fine. But nevertheless, we see he still needs a kapara. Therefore, mishn is kavan lechol chalev v'olav yodav chalev. Allah has kamel kama. How much more so when a person intends to do an ayah? And intends to do an aveda and actually does it. Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda says a similar vote on this. When the pasuk says, when the pasuk says that he doesn't know and he's guilty and he bears his avera, which again we're talking about a case of an Oshem Tolui where he didn't know that he doesn't even know that he committed an avera, but he actually did. Al davade yidvu kol adovim. On this kind of thing, all the people who feel bad about things, all people who have a heart to feel bad about things, should feel bad about such a thing. But there you have that even somebody who's a shogig and not a scaven, he didn't intend to do an avera at all, and yet he's considered guilty and he has to bring a korban for it. So you see, doing an avera, even unwittingly, is a very serious thing. And Tosfos, by the way, in Nedarim over there, where this Gemara is also, we have this Gemara in Nedarim as well, Tosfos brings over there that Yidvu is Rosh HaTevis, Yodav HaOshem V'Nosh. So that's why he uses the word Yidru Koladoyde, to represent this idea that even if he doesn't know, nevertheless, for Oshem, he's still guilty, even not Savona, and he bears Zaveda until he brings the, and even the Oshem Tolui only sort of suspends things. If he ever finds out the classic case of Oshem Tolui is he had two pieces of meat in front of him, one's Shuman, one's Chalev, he ate one and he doesn't know which one it was. If he ever finds out that the one he ate is Chalev, he's actually going to have to bring Chatos as well. So that's the point of it here, that even he didn't know that he's not even sure whether he did anything wrong, and he still needs a kapara. So therefore, we see the seriousness of even where a person intends to do an avera, but they didn't end up doing it, like a Chiya Ba'ashi's case, or the other way around, where a person didn't intend but ends up doing an avera. Again, I'm assigning the charge.
Yeah, at 9:40.